Oh, so good to see you today. And if you have your Bibles, let's open to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 to 23. And while you're turning there, let me just say, so many great things going on, things to be grateful for. And a lot of graduates this past week, those graduating from high school, college, seminary, praise the Lord. Well done for all of our graduates. We recognize you and give you a big round of applause, many of you guys. Well done. And yesterday was Armed Forces Day, and all those who serve in our military, hey, look, next weekend, Memorial Day weekend, and we remember those who have paid the ultimate price. And with Armed Forces Day, we just want to recognize all of our military. How many of you have either served or have family, loved ones serving in military? If you'd raise your hands high, let me see you. Look at all the hands. Praise the Lord. Let's give a round of applause for all those who serve. For all those who serve and have served, we are so grateful to God for you. I'm honored to wear this shirt today. Usually don't preach like this, but military ministry, and the shirts are available out there. You can support the ministry by a shirt. If you have one, wear it next weekend. You'll see a lot of folks wearing the shirt next weekend, and people will ask you in the community, military ministry, what's that about? And you can say, hey, my church, we love everybody, and we want, if you'd like to come to our next military ministry event, you can find all that information online. Ask the folks that are out there at the table representing the military ministry. Look, it's not just a few folks that are involved in the military ministry. It's the whole church. As a family, it's part of what we do. We have other great ministries you need to be aware of to tell other folks about. Special needs ministry, biker ministry, children's ministry, messianic ministry, student ministry, and the list goes on and on. And be aware of those things and help us to spread the word, get the word out about all that the Lord is doing here. Share these things on Facebook and however it is that you communicate. Send those emails out. Invite your friends. Wear those shirts. Get the word out in the community. One of the things I do love about our church family is that this church is always on mission. As we go out from this place, we're on mission. Specifically, we have two teams on the mission field even now as we worship. We have a team that is in Israel. We've been communicating. They talked about how they have engaged people in the gospel. And so we'll be praying for the team that is in Israel this week. And not only our partnership in Israel, but we also go to a couple of bike weeks. Daytona Bike Week, Myrtle Beach Bike Week. And those are some rough crowds. And our bikers, along with others, have a big team down in Myrtle Beach this week. You be praying for them as they have opportunity to share the gospel. This church never was meant to be just in our community, but to actually spread throughout this nation and even to the ends of the earth with our partnerships. And so I so love this church family. Be in prayer for all of these things. Now, if you have your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 5, verses 22 through 33. And I want to speak to you about God's plan for husbands and wives and the mystery of marriage. The mystery of marriage. And setting the context, you'll remember last time we were together, or as we've journeyed through the book of Ephesians, we have learned quite a bit that it was God who took the initiative in our salvation. God is the one who has chosen us. God is the one who has forgiven us and caused us to be born into his kingdom. And we learned in the first three chapters what the Lord has done to adopt us into his family by his doing, by his grace and mercy toward us. And now, as the children of God, something changes when we get to chapter 4. no longer lofty theology picturing the believers in heavenly places, but about our journey on this side of eternity. Our walk is how he describes it. Our manner of conduct now that we are the children of God. Last time he spoke to us about walking in the light. As the children of light, walking not in darkness, that's who we once were, but now because of our new identity in Christ, we walk a different direction. As the children of God, act like it. Talked about walking in the light. And we saw in the scripture, he says, and be filled with the Holy Spirit. The idea is, be ye continually being filled, walking in the Spirit. And then, as we ended last week in verse 21, where he said, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. Spirit-filled relationships, submitting to one another in our relationships. God has established order in his creation. Order is what we're going to see in relationships between husbands and wives, between children and parents. We'll look at that next week. Bring your children. And in relationships such as masters and servants, employers and employees. God has order. Order in creation. Most of you, when you went to bed last night, you thought, I have a good sense that when I wake up, it's going to be light out. There's going to be a sunrise tomorrow. There'll be a sunset later this evening. And that pattern will continue till the Lord returns, right? He has order in creation. Order in how the seasons come. Order in gravity. How things hold together. How the stars move about and how we rotate around the sun. There is order in creation. There is order in society. There's order in the world we live in. When you drove here today, there was order for a red light caused you to stop so that other cars could go from a different direction without chaos. There were dotted lines and yellow lines in the road so that we would stay in our lanes. There's order in that. All of the world that we live in has order. And there is even order ordained and established by God in the church. Pastors, gifted, called men serving in the church. Evangelists, as we saw in Ephesians 4. Teachers. Those serving in the church with their spiritual gifts, and there's order. He speaks about how there should be order even in the worship services. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. We have order in the church. And what he wants to speak to us about here is order in relationships. And in the passage we're going to look at today, order in the marriage relationships that we have and that we are to enjoy. Order in the family. And so he's going to speak to us about God's design, God's plan for wives, and God's design, God's plan, God's role, assignment for wives and husbands. He speaks to the wives, three verses. He speaks to the husbands, six verses. I can speak on behalf of the husbands, and I do not like a society that constantly denigrates men. Don't like it at all. You watch it on TV, putting down the role of the male, the role of the husband. I don't like it at all. That doesn't honor the Lord, but I can speak on behalf of the husband and rightly say that men probably need six verses because we are a little bit more hard-headed. That's a fact. I'm not putting down men when I observe certain things about us men. But he's going to speak to the wives first, and the word has plenty enough to offend all of us today and to step on our toes. As women, wives, as you hear about wives, it's not for you, husbands, to elbow your wives and say, "Listen up, honey." Let the Holy Spirit and the Word of God speak to the wives today. And when we speak to the husbands from the Word of God, wives, let the Holy Spirit be the Holy Spirit. Men already know. We already know men are not perfect. Wives, don't say amen. We already know. But in the sovereignty of God, I want you to know as you listen to the Word of God today that there is grace, that there is mercy, that there is forgiveness, and there is hope. There's no doubt there are many of you in this room, you're single, and you're years and years away from possibly being married, but you need to tune in and understand not what the culture says about marriage, but what does God's Word say about marriage? That you might find the right spouse, better yet, that you might be the right spouse. Marriage, as Ruth Graham Bell says, is a union of two sinners. We need to understand that. And we need to understand that the way the Scripture, the way the Lord pictures this, is it has everything to do with the gospel. The marriage is a picture of the gospel. It's a picture of Christ and his relationship with the church. And we have roles in the church. We have roles, responsibilities, assignments in marriage. If the marriage relationship, which is a gift given by God, and it's a picture of the gospel, then we get to participate in the gospel in our marriages, and it means this is very important. Because it's an outward expression of the gospel that the world and our children see. They get to see the gospel in action, which is unfortunate in many cases, because 50% of the marriages that take place this month will end in divorce in the United States. 41% will be dissolved within 8 years. We're not doing it God's way. You and I should at least agree to this. I want to do it God's way. And I know, men, we are turkeys. And women, you're turkeys too. Some of you are here today and you're hurting big time. Some of you have experienced the pain of divorce, but listen, I need you to tune in. God's Word brings healing, but also there's going to be an opportunity for you to come alongside someone else and speak to them, this is what God says about marriage. Maybe I made mistakes in my life. Maybe there were things, but listen, God heals, God forgives, God restores, but this is God's plan for marriage. One man, one woman. And he now speaks to us and he speaks to the wives. He says, wives. He's not talking to single women. He's not talking to those women who are not married. He's speaking directly to you wives who have entered into a covenant relationship in marriage with this unusual creature called a husband. Wives, submit. And that word makes us cringe. The idea here is this is your assignment, this is your role in the family. Wives, willingly, joyfully place yourself under the God-given headship of the husband in the marriage relationship. Wives, submit to your own husbands, not somebody else's husband, not some other man. Now, when he's speaking about submitting, and even when he says submit to one another in the fear of the Lord in verse 21, The idea has been tainted by the world. He's not saying that this is a slave relationship. He's not saying that the woman is less important. He's not saying that the woman isn't equal. He's not saying that the woman has less intelligence than the man. Case in point, my own life. I know. But God has given a different assignment to the husband to lead, whether he likes that or not. Husbands, lead. Wives, submit to your own husbands. Wives, not having other buddies as husband substitutes, not texting pictures and texting and developing a buddy-buddy close relationship with some other man, texting or Facebook, end all that now. Your husband is your friend. He's your lover. He is that relationship. Wives, willingly place yourself under the God-given authority of the man on this side of eternity in this relationship to your own husbands as unto the Lord. In other words, wives, submit to your own husbands because it is an expression of your submission to the Lord. Wow. That's a picture of the gospel. Now, as you hear about your roles, think about he's describing this as Christ and the church. This is the role. For the husband is the head of the wife, verse 23, as also Christ is the head of the church. So there is a parallel relationship that he's drawing out for us here in the Word. Think about the relationship of Christ and the church, the husband and the wife. He speaks about roles elsewhere. In 1 Corinthians chapter 11 and verse 3, we read, it says, the head of every man is Christ. The head of every woman is man. The head of Christ is God. Do you understand what he's bringing in comparison to our marriage relationships? Christ, who is eternally God, God the Son, and in the relationship between God the Father and God the Son willingly, joyfully subordinates himself to the Father so that God the Father is the head of Christ. Wow. That's a picture of the marriage relationship. What makes it difficult, and you ladies understand this, is yes, but that's a perfect relationship. I'm not in a perfect relationship. My husband is a turkey, to say the least. My husband doesn't love me the way that Christ loves the church. Women, wives, specifically, whether your husband is passing or failing in his grade before the Lord, you fulfill your job responsibility. He says, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, he's going to use this word just as in comparison to. Therefore, in conclusion, God says to the wives, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be subject, submissive to their own husbands in all things. Now, let me speak to a couple of issues. To be sure, books have been written, and I'm only spending 30 minutes today on this passage. I don't want to bring in too much more. I don't want to say more than the scripture says, but I don't want to say less than it says. But I'm not asking, more importantly, the Word of God is not asking women, if you're at home and you're in an abusive relationship, he's not saying, women, that submission looks like this, you're to be a punching bag. No, you are not. If you are being physically abused, come see me or one of our pastors after the service. We need to get some help in the relationship. Something has gone awry. This is not supposed to be the case. Husbands, yes, we make mistakes. That's not what he's referring to here. I'm not asking you to stay under the same roof. There may be a time of separation that is needed till we infuse godly counsel and can find out what's going on. It is also not asking you to sin if your husband is saying you have to submit to me and I'm asking you to sin in whatever that looks like. No. Because ultimately, you worship and have an absolute relationship with the Lord. But in outside matters, outside of these things, this is what the scriptures are calling the wives to do in this order. We read in Colossians 3 in verse 18, "Wives, submit to your own husbands as this is fitting in the Lord." The Apostle Peter understands the significance of the marriage relationship and the roles that God has assigned. And he says in 1 Peter 3, verses 1 through 2, "Wives, likewise, be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some of them are turkeys," wait a second, that was a paraphrase. But here's what it does say. "Even if some of them do not obey the word." He doesn't say leave them if they don't obey the word. "But be submissive to your own husbands, that even if some do not obey the word, that they, without a word, through your gentle and quiet spirit, may be won to Christ." That they may be won by the chaste conduct of their wives. I have seen it time and time again in marriage counseling, where the woman is trying to take the role of the Holy Spirit. And she's nagging and badgering and coming down on her husband, constantly reminding him of what he's doing wrong, what he should be doing, and all these things. Women, let the Holy Spirit do his job. The Holy Spirit is much more effective. Meeting with a couple recently, asking the wife to not do those things, but rather pray for her husband and be a walking, living example of what a believer does as they worship the Lord. We saw great things happen in a marriage where the story of a woman and a family, a marriage that was involved in ministry, husband, wife, in ministry. And the testimony of the man was, "Our marriage was all but done." It's gone. It's all but done. And something happened. The wife read this and saw the relationship of Christ in the church. Christ is the head of the church. Christ is preeminent in all things. Christ is to be served by the church, adored by the church, loved by the church. And she took that seriously. And rather than making the children the focal point of the household, the marriage became the focal point of the household. And how she loved and how she submitted herself to her husband and placed him preeminent in all things. Wow. The husband immediately noticed. The husband said, "Wow, I come home, the whole household isn't revolving around the children, but now toward Christ and the church, that relationship is being pictured. Go to the refrigerator, to the pantry. Whoa, it's not just SpaghettiOs all over the place, but my favorite things. And I'm being treated first place in all things when I sit down to the table. It's not just thrown there and I get the bent up old fork, but rather there's thought, there's care, Christ in the church." So much so that after having watched this for a while and the wife's gentle, quiet spirit, She's praying for her husband, living for Christ, living for Christ, living for her husband in that role. He said the Holy Spirit absolutely came down on him. She's getting an A+ before the Lord. I'm getting a failing grade. She's fulfilling her God-given assignment. I am failing in my God-given assignment, which we're about to read. And the Holy Spirit broke him. He said it restored our marriage. Not just that we were roommates and surviving, but we were now thriving in the Lord. Wives, listen. Submit to your own husbands as unto the Lord. And just as the church is subject to Christ, let wives be subject to their own husbands in all things. Now, husbands. The husbands. Husbands, love. He just starts off with wives submit, husbands love. Wives, live for your husbands. Husbands, die for your wives. In this sacrificial, God-given, agape, spirit-filled love. Wives, if you'll live for your husbands. Husband, if you'll die for your wives, we can close up and go home right then. Husbands, love. He's talking about that spirit-filled love, agape love, self-giving, sacrificial, intentional, personal. It is a choice, not a feeling. We choose. Sometimes we don't feel like it, but we choose. The church is not perfect. Christ loves the church. Husbands, love your wives. Notice what it says here. Husbands, love your wives just as Christ also loved the church. Here it is. That spirit-filled, self-giving, sacrificial look. We don't need any more definitions of love. What we need is demonstrations of love by the husbands toward their wives in the homes. But your pride and your arrogance, your selfishness won't allow that to be a reality. God will work on you. Better to come to the Lord on His terms and allow God to do these things in your life than for Him to have to break you to make this a reality. Husbands, agape your wives, not somebody else's wives, not some other woman. Same thing, no texting, no sending pictures, no buddy-buddy. Your wife is your friend. She's your lover. You have one. You have one for life. Husbands, love your wives. How? Here goes just as, comparison again, just as Christ also loved the church. Does Jesus love his bride, the church? Absolutely. So we need to study that a little bit as husbands to realize how it is that God wants us to love our wives. What did he do for the church? It says that he gave himself for his bride. Now we can start thinking about the cross and what does the cross have to do with our marriage relationship? As we come to the cross, we see love. We see mercy, we see grace, and we find hope in our marriages at the foot of the cross, for we find forgiveness with God and forgiveness with one another. Marriage is a relationship of two selfish people forgiving one another, two selfish, sinful people who forgive one another in view of the cross. Christ loved the church, gave himself for her, so that, now watch this, so that he, Christ, might sanctify his bride, the church, and cleanse her with the washing of water by the word, also in that same way, just as that the husband might sanctify, that is to set apart his wife, in the marriage relationship, cleansing her with the washing of water by the word. Now, What he's saying here is that the husband is to lead his wife out of the world and into the Word. That the husband is to be the shepherd or the pastor in the home, and that he's setting apart his wife unto the Lord, cleansing her with the Word, the washing of the Word. The Word here is not logos, but rhema, that is a verse or a word of God, that as she struggles in life, as she encounters hardship or joy, to put your arm around and shepherd and care for your wife as she experiences loss by the Word to comfort. Honey, look at this verse as God speaks to us about this, whatever that may be. Husbands, this is how you are to be the shepherd in your own home, cleansing your bride with the Word, that the husband might present her or lead her unto Christ, a glorious church, in the same way that Christ is leading his church, presenting her unto himself, a glorious church. And so this is the husband's responsibility. Wives, leave your husbands alone right now. He's thinking about these things. He's learning these things. Husbands are not quite perfect yet. We probably never will. Some of you in this room have been married for more than 40, 50, even a couple here, 62 years, would tell you we're not perfect as husbands. And wives aren't perfect either. We're forgiving, we're learning, we're demonstrating grace. You look at your role, fulfill your responsibility, and let the Holy Spirit work on your spouse. But he says here that he's presenting her to Christ, not having stain, not having spot, that is stained by the sins of the world. No, we're leading and setting them apart for Christ, not having spot, stain, wrinkle, or any such thing, but that she instead should be holy, growing in holiness. Listen, I want to see my bride growing in holiness. I want to see the bride of Christ, God's church, growing in holiness to the glory of God. Do I do that perfectly? No way. My marriage is not perfect, but Emily's coming along. I don't think she's in that. She'll be in the next service. I won't say that in the next service. Y'all don't say anything. So husbands, verse 28, ought to love their own wives. He's telling us again, we're hard-headed. Love your own wives, not somebody else, as their own bodies, because she is your own flesh. The two become one. And he who loves his wife loves himself. Now, it's interesting, he's telling the husbands to agape, to love their wives. Is there anywhere in Scripture where the wives are told to agape their husbands? No. Are they told to love their husbands? Once, Titus. Titus, we read, it says that the older women likewise, that they are to be reverent in behavior, not slanderers, teachers of good things, that they admonish the young women to love their husbands. You've been married a while, you know the difficulty, the challenges, and all that's involved with it, and God wants to use your testimony as older women speaking to the younger women, teach them the ways of the Lord and how to walk with the Lord, their role in the marriage relationship, teaching the younger women to love their husbands. And the word here, not agape, but phileo, Philadelphia, brotherly love. The idea here is a companion, a friend in life. Your husband wants to have a companion, a friend, in addition to a lover. This is what God is calling. Hey, listen, you're going to grow up and you're going to say, hey, I spent all my time with the kids, all my time there. enjoy the journey together as a married couple, being friends. It's okay. My wife is my best friend, sharing life together. Husbands, love your wives. Wives, love, phileo, your husbands, and agape. Verse 29, for no man ever hated his own flesh, but he nourishes and he cherishes it. He feeds and he clothes and he takes care of. He pours into it. Say, I'm not getting anything out of my marriage. You're not putting anything into your marriage. Pour your life. Give your lives for your wives. Love, nourish, cherish, just as the Lord does the church. For we are members of his body. He's putting all of this together now. Listen, there's a lot at stake. Do it God's way. The world will tell you all kinds of different ways. Two men, two women. Why don't you live together? The world will say, why don't you live together? Find out if it'll work out. Did you know that 40% of those who live together before marriage, those marriages are 40% more likely to end in divorce? That's the wisdom of the world for you. No, let's do it God's way. We are members of his body, of his flesh, of his bone. He is the designer. Let's follow the Lord's recipe for how this looks in our lives. He says, for this reason, what reason? Well, he's talking about in Genesis. He's quoting from Genesis. He talks about how, listen, it's the first time in the Bible where something is described as not being good. And it's describing man being alone. Adam was created and he was naming the animals. But for Adam, there was not a suitable helper, an edzerkenegdo, a companion. He needed a helper. God looked at him and says, this man needs some help. I look at some of you guys that aren't married yet, and I'm like, man, you need some help. You need to find the right woman. For this reason, a man shall leave his father and his mother. Mom and dad, let them go at that time. Stay out. Let them figure it out. Don't need the in-laws and outlaws in there messing them up all the time. Leave the father and the mother and be joined to his wife. Wow, two sinful, selfish people coming together. And the two shall become one flesh. It speaks of intimacy in our marriages. Marriage, look, I'm marrying a couple in 3 weeks. We've been talking about this. I said, let me tell you what's going to happen on that day. Y'all going to get married, right? There's going to be one wedding and two funerals. That's what a marriage is. One wedding, two funerals. Y'all are going to become one, and two people are going to die unto themselves and live for one another. This is marriage. The two become one flesh. You know, Adam, first time he sees Eve, he's like, whoa, man. That's where she got her name. Whoa, man. That's no joke. He named all the animals, named the wife. Whoa, man, she's a woman. I promise you, Adam was convinced she is the most beautiful woman, the most gorgeous woman in the entire world. She was the only woman in the world. Eve. It's always funny, after all y'all done laughing, somebody else laughs, and they're like, I got it. This is a great mystery. Marriage is a great mystery. Has everything to do with the gospel. Marriage is a great mystery. It's a picture of Christ and the church and the gospel. He says, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. A lot's at stake. Nevertheless, he says this in summary, let each one of you husbands, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself. And wives, let the wife see that she respects her husband as the church does Christ. As Christ loves the church, as the church submits to Christ, listen, here it is. Husbands, die for your wives. Sacrifice for your wives. I don't want to see, hey, you got a brand new car, got a great golf club. She can't even get something to help her around the house or whatever she's got. That's selfish. Place her above. Husband, sacrifice. Choose. Die for your wives. Wives, live for your husbands. It is not complicated. It's just impossible. Unless we are walking in the light. Unless we are filled with the Spirit, which allows us to live in the grace and the mercy and the compassion and the forgiveness that is afforded to us by the Lord. Husbands, this is not just about, well, I provide for my wife. I bring home a paycheck. The lost man does that. This is about loving and leading and sacrificing under the shadow of the cross the way that Christ loves his bride, the church. Husbands, die for your wives. Wives, live for your husbands. Stop coming up with all these definitions of marriage and love. We don't need definitions. We need the demonstration of this reality, the gospel-centered, spirit-filled marriage in our culture today. It's what our children need to see. And you remember the grace and forgiveness of God that strengthens you, that lifts you up, and that can restore you and bring healing in your life. Look, this is radical for the world. This is radical. This world don't want to hear wives submit, husbands love. But this is God's plan. Listen, this is God's plan for marriage. This is God's plan for husbands and wives as we participate in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Father, I thank you for this word to us. So much more to say. I pray that we would just grab hold of what you have said here in your word. We'd quit looking for some crazy scientific explanation and all these things. We would simply be doers of your word. Father, let us hear under the shadow of the cross how it is that you'd have us to sacrifice, to serve, to love, to choose, to be intentional, to be driven by your word and your Spirit working in us. Lord, I lift up the wives and I pray for them this day. For those that are hurting, for those that are thriving, for those women and young ladies that will one day be married, prepare them. And prepare the young men as well, that they would enter into a Christ-centered marriage. Lord, bless the marriages here at the Creek. Holy Spirit, do your work in our lives. Let us pray for one another, pray for our spouses, that we would participate in the gospel as we enjoy the gift of marriage that you have given to each one of us. Let us hear these words, we pray, in Jesus' name and amen.